Attention all passengers. The Uber ride for Jeff's rugby team will depart in 5 minutes from platform 15. Your ride comes with 6 toilets and a refreshments carriage that you'll empty within 5 minutes. Thank you for booking your tickets on Uber.
Trains on Uber.
So many people look like they're holding it all together, but inside they feel drained. They feel disconnected and stuck in the patterns that they can't explain. What if the problem didn't start with them? Now, today we have a very special guest and we're having a real conversation. One that so many experience, and especially women, but they don't always talk about it openly. Emotional trauma, toxic relationships, and the long-term impact is not just on you, but you're on your children, your identity, your future. I'm joined today by Tracy Liberatore, an entrepreneur, an author, and a founder of the Walk As Her movement, where she focuses on something that most people overlook, healing the women at the center of it all. This is a conversation about breaking cycles, reclaiming your power, and rebuilding from the inside out. Tracy, welcome to the show. I'm so excited to have you on the show today. And tell everybody a little about yourself.
Thank you, Stacy. I'm glad to be here. Well, just a little bit about me. I guess my background is I came from medicine. I worked as a physician assistant for 10 years and decided to go back to law school and ran a medical legal company for about 10 years. And in the midst of all of that and through my own personal journey, went through a past life and a spiritual regression. And that's what led me down this spiritual path, personal experience, stuff being stripped away, really trying to figure out my own identity and who I was underneath all of the credentials and all of the accolades. Who's the person beneath that? And so that's really what led me to, well, Rise Again Phoenix was the parent company and then Walk As Her as the movement.
I love that. Now, so many women feel overwhelmed, emotionally drained, stuck in their patterns. Why is this happening?
Yeah, so a lot of this patterning, we think this is who we are, this is our personality. And it's like, well, this is me, this is how I am, I overreact, I do this. But there actually is something underneath all of that. And this is something I've been calling the silent inheritance.
Yeah.
And I call it that because most of the time we know we inherit our mother's hair or our father's eye color, or I look like my mother or my father. And then, you know, we might inherit maybe some of their money or their house or their belongings. But the part we don't know that we inherit is the things that have been passed down generation to generation. And those are the underlying patterns, the societal beliefs, the things that have been put on us, that have been put on them.
Yeah.
And they didn't even know they were passing to us. This is why I kind of call it silent, because it's a little insidious, right?
Yeah.
We pick up our mother's anxiety, our father's anxieties. And then so these things manifest in our personality and we think this is who we are. But when we really get into it and get below the surface, these things can be recognized and released and we can be free of them.
100%. Now, what are they not seeing about their situation?
So it's a conditioning, right? It's a societal conditioning. And so the things that I have noticed, you know, just from my perspective, what I've noticed in my life is that going through the healing and all of the work that I've done, how was I as a mother here and how am I a mother now? And so when your eyes are open, I just always say it's like once it's seen, it can't be unseen, right?
Yeah.
You know, allowing your children to really just be who they're meant to be. Why did this, you know, child have a certain interest and allowing them to be brought up in whatever they're meant to be here for and that purpose. And so when we're operating from our own conditioned state, we tend to not be able to even see that.
Right.
I know, for example, my story always is growing up, I thought I wanted to be a doctor. I felt I was a healer. And so both of my parents said, oh, you know, your uncle couldn't get into medical school, so you'll never get in. Yeah. And so I didn't even apply. And really what that was, it was my parents, out of the best love that they had for me, giving me advice from their own fears and anxieties, passing it on to me, causing me to not even try to do something. And Lord knows at this point, probably could have done it, right? I mean, look at everything else I've done at this point, but I'll never know. And I think that sometimes that not knowing is almost worse than the trying and being rejected.
Oh, yeah.
But operating from that space, and it's really, it's like a reflex almost, like it's something that just sort of happens. We don't even know what's happening. It's like we're in the moment and these things happen to us. Yeah. And so, and again, a lot of these imprints are happening to us when we're children and we form a belief system around something. as a child because it helps us survive through something.
Yes.
And as an adult, these patterns are still running. And as an adult, we might want to do something or we have an intention and this pattern is running in the background and we don't even know it. And that's what's holding us back from being able to achieve our goals as an adult, because it was a belief formed as a child that we don't even know that it's going on.
That's amazing. And it's so true. You live in an environment, you really think it's normal, you know, because you live in that environment for so many years and that's what you're used to. You're used to the way your mom acts, you know, her behaviors, you know, the way she handles things. You're used to your, if you have a dad at home, the way he acts, the way he responds to things. And you're, when you live in an environment like that, what you see around you, the people that surround you are the, you know, that's your environment and you think it's normal.
That's
so
right.
You pretty much, you know, through either DNA or just being in an environment that you grow up in for so many years and the things you're told to do, things you're not told to do, all that stuff like plays a role on who we become and what we think is normal. And especially when you live in a family with your intermediate family and even your outside family, this is the behaviors you see. This is the behaviors you think is normal. And then you usually, without even realizing it, you copy those behaviors until, you know, either someone points it out to you, and most people get very defensive because they're in denial, you know, or sometimes people hit rock bottom somehow, you know, because those are negative behaviors that lead to chaos in your life. And, you know, some people don't want to feel that chaos anymore. So then when they don't want to feel that chaos anymore, you know, they look for more productive ways and how to let go and how to find a more productive way to live life in a happy, you know, way where they could, you know, be happy with themselves.
Absolutely. And Stacey, you mentioned DNA, and that's so true too. I know I've read that they have done studies now that where they can see that these patterns have been passed down through the DNA.
Yeah.
And I know with my work, when I do the past life regressions, we carry things from past life. So somebody may be displaying something in this life. Mm-hmm. They don't even know they're carrying it from something that happened to them in a past life. I've had women that, you know, have trouble speaking, where their throat has been slit in a past life for speaking out on something. And when they discover that, they can release that. And then the problem in this life is it goes away.
Yeah.
And it's just amazing to me, some of the experiences that I've gone through with clients. It just, and the healing that happens, and then the discoveries of even beyond that, you know, going from past life into spirit and recognizing I'm here to do this and this is my mission. And okay, this is why, you know, and it's truly a transformative experience.
We had a doctor on the show and he was explaining that when the egg and the sperm consummate and the egg rolls down the fallopian tube, you've already inherited 240 characteristics of your mom and your dad before you even started to basically develop.
That's amazing. Yeah.
Now, I just want to mention, if you're listening to this and something is resonated, make sure that you follow the podcast, because these are the conversations that change lives. And so we want to help you understand what's really going on and how to change it. Now, you know, without going into specifics, what happens to someone emotionally when they're in a toxic or draining relationship?
Yeah. So when you're in that toxic and draining relationship, again, talking about environment, you're sort of isolated and you're in there with that person and you have this person that you're either married to, in a long-term relationship with, maybe have children with, and they're telling you something. Maybe they're telling you something about yourself, or, you know, telling you something about them that, you know, sort of demeans your positions. You know, you could never survive without me, or I'll take your kids if you ever leave me. You're nothing without me, those sort of things. And you're in a position in that environment where you believe it. And a big one that I heard a lot throughout my life through multiple relationships was, nobody's ever going to love you like I will, or like I do, right? And I look at that now as just a statement of control, because who are you to say how someone else or could love me or not? But yet I, as the person with that person, believe that. And I'm like, well, I can't leave this person. No one else is ever going to love me like that.
Yeah.
You know, and you get so trapped. And then so beyond that, the other one of my favorites is, don't air your dirty laundry. Mm. And what I read into that at this point is, don't tell anyone else what I'm doing to you.
Yeah.
Right? If you go and talk to your friends, they're going to tell you that that's not true, and you're going to figure me out. you know, between those two statements that you hear and then the within the relationship stuff that goes on, you really start to form this belief that, oh my God, I can't go anywhere. I'm stuck. I must stay in this situation. And it's really just not the truth. You know, when you get outside of it and you look, it's so not true.
Yeah.
And I have discovered this time and time again with relationships I've been in that, you know, someone else will always love you more than the person that's telling you that, most likely, especially somebody that says that is saying it out of a you know, place of control.
Right.
It's just, I don't know what else to say other than it's just not true.
It's so not true. Why is it so hard for people to break free from those patterns?
Because it's an integral part of our personality. It's who we identify as. And it just becomes part of who we are and the conditioning that goes on. And it's just, you know, there's a belief system and a structure that we form, especially early on, and that we carry throughout our life. And I think we end up in relationships because of the stuff and the beliefs that we form as in our younger years. And so it's hard to get out because it's just a belief, and the belief is so strong. And to get in there and really get at the root cause of that belief, and then to burst that belief open and fracture that belief.
Yeah.
Sometimes that is so disrupting in a person's life. Mm-hmm. It really needs to be almost taken apart piece by piece, slower, right? Because I've had people that have done, you know, if you do too much work at once, that it's like they don't even know who they are anymore.
Exactly.
And they lose a sense of self and like, who am I? Where do I belong? And it's.
Yeah. It is so true. Now, this is something you're really passionate about. It's the idea of healing the mother. Now, why is that so important to you?
Yes, because in my life and as a mother, watching my children go through the school system and dealing with, you know, a divorce situation and dealing with domestic courts, nobody seems to care about mom.
Right.
They care about the kids to an extent, but they don't look at the fact that the kids do well when mom does well, when mom is the caregiver for these children and mom can do well.
Yeah.
They just, you know, and so I feel like there's this gap in everybody, you know, I see a lot of courses on parenting, childcare, rearing your children, but I don't see anybody really talking about, how about look at you and heal you first, and then you come and you parent from a place of healing.
Right.
And once you're healed, you will raise a healed, whole, healthy, new earth child, because that's what you're going to teach them. You're not going to pass down the crap that we've all got from, you know, the witch wounds and the mother wounds and all the stuff that we come into this life, you know, dealing with. Clear out yourself, and then you won't have that to give to your child.
Exactly.
And then you will see your child and you'll see their gifts. I mean, my daughter is so artistic. She may not be the best person in school, but I'm okay with that. You know why? That's not her gift. That's not her space.
Exactly.
Let her do her thing her way.
Right.
And then she will be happy.
100%.
And it doesn't always have to equate to money, but most of the time when you follow your gifts and your passion, it turns out to be very profitable.
Yeah.
Like, look at Taylor Swift, right?
Exactly. Oh my goodness. Now, how does a mother, how does her emotional state impact her children long term?
Yeah. So think about the nights that you come home and you're overwhelmed from work and you're miserable and you hate your job. And now you walk in the door and, or maybe you pick your kids up from daycare and you're bringing them home and you're trying to get dinner ready. And maybe your kid has a meltdown for something or throws a cup, but now the spaghetti hits the wall. Or, you know, maybe your husband comes in and says, hey, you know, can you make me that drink? And it's just like, you know, you snap, right?
Yeah.
And then we go into what I call like the emotional hangover, right? Because now it's like, oh my God, I just snapped at everybody. And I, you know, and then at night when things are quiet and I can calm down after you yell, no TV tonight and I'm done here and whatever, we maybe walk away and slam the door, right?
Yeah.
And so in the calm of the night when things are quiet, we always sit there in our heads and like, God, I could have done that better.
Yeah.
You know, and I read the books and I do this stuff and I understand what I'm supposed to do.
Yeah.
But why in the moment do I keep snapping?
Right.
And it's because we aren't regulated ourselves. There's something in our body, in our psyche that we're carrying, and it's carried through the mind and the body and the soul and the energy. And there's so many different parts to this. And so once you work on yourself and you clear your own things and you recognize it, And the more that you can start to look at these things and recognize them as patterns, I'm not saying you're going to be perfect and you're never going to snap. I know I still do at times. It happens to all of us. But I'll tell you what, I can recognize when it happens to me and I can kneel down to my three-year-old and I can look him in the eyes and say, you know what, honey, I'm sorry. Yeah. Mommy just was in a moment and I should not have acted like that with you in that moment. And I'm sorry. Mommy's going to do better. Right. And I give him a hug and everything is good. Right. And in that moment, you know, what does he learn? He learns, you know, that nobody's perfect, which we're not. Yeah. Things happen, but we apologize when we hurt somebody else. Right. We apologize maybe when we realize that what we did maybe wasn't in the best interest of everybody in the room. And so that's the biggest thing that I want my kids to know is that we're never going to be perfect. But you know what? If you make a mistake, own up it. Own up to the mistake. Own your issue. Learn from it.
Exactly.
And make it right. Guys, it's so easy, but it's like really, Elton John sings the song, the sorry is the hardest words, and it is so true.
It is.
It's so hard for people to say.
Yeah.
But it is so healing in the moment.
If you could learn to just forgive and let go, it's hard, it's not easy, but if you start to learn how to do it and work at it, it takes a load off your shoulders because
yes.
You know, not forgiving someone and holding that regret and holding that anger just weighs you down and it really affects you.
It affects
you.
It does.
Physically, mentally, and it keeps you stagnant in life where you can't move forward because that, you know, it seems so simple. One little thing could just really do so much damage.
It does. And it really spins your day, your whole day, right? And the one thing that I use in a moment like that. Well, I have a couple of things, but one of the things that I try to do every day is even in the person that brings me the most misery in my life.
Yeah.
Number one, I look at that and I say, okay, I decided before I came here, I wanted to learn something and people were going to be put into my life. And usually the ones that are the worst people in our lives are teaching us the biggest lesson.
Right.
What can I be grateful for right now? Yeah. This person, right? And just kind of bring yourself back to that center and back to that place of peace.
Yes.
Because truly, if you don't do that, you are letting them win. You're giving up space in your head for free and you're right. Just letting them put you into that tailspin energetically. It's not worth it.
Yes, it's so true. Now, if someone is listening right now and they feel stuck, what's the first step towards breaking the cycle?
Well, that would be depend on what kind of stuck that you were referring to. If you mean stuck as far as like in a situation where they feel like stressed or anxiety in the moment, my favorite thing is just to take the breath. And it's a four breath in, hold for four and release for either six or eight.
Right.
And when I do that, it reminds me of ocean waves because it's sort of the pulse and the beat of the ocean. And so I bring myself into that space just to get the calm.
Yes.
Because when you're operating from a place of anxiety and stress and anger, you do things that you're going to later regret. And so just taking that breath, give yourself those few seconds. And if you can do two or three, it's even better.
Right.
Because your body can't operate in a state of panic.
Yes.
When you're breathing like that.
Exactly. That's so true. Now, what do they need to stop doing immediately in order to move forward?
Well, I think the first thing to stop doing immediately is to blame yourself and cause yourself, I can't think of the word right, but the guilt tripping that goes on, right? Because we're all human. And just recognizing that we're here, we're having this human experience, and it's okay to screw up. It really is, because we all do it. And that's
right.
We're perfectly imperfect, right?
Exactly.
And so just allow yourself to have those moments and really let those things pass through. Because the other problem I see is that when you start to stuff the emotions and bury them inside, then they come out as something else. They come out sideways. They come out as anger.
Yeah.
If you have to go in a room and be private, but just sit with the emotion, feel it in your body. And I always might with my clients, we go through, you know, where do you feel this in your body? And it's usually the chest, the stomach, somewhere in here. Sometimes the throat gets tight. And just really feel into that and close your eyes because you'll focus better on the body.
Yeah.
And give that its space and let the emotion flow through you and let your body know that it's safe to feel that.
Right.
And you're just going to let it. You're going to feel it. You're going to let it pass. And when it passes through and it's done, you've given it its space.
Yeah.
And then that's really, you know, all most of us really want, or our emotions, is the space to be felt.
I love that.
Heard and felt,
100%. What do they need to stop? I mean, actually start doing.
Start doing?
Yeah.
Well, I think the biggest thing is, especially for moms, we need to do stuff for ourselves. Mm-hmm. We need to remember that it's okay sometimes, because I know to say to do this all the time is not going to sit well, but sometimes to put yourself first. So pick something if you want to go for a monthly pedicure, a monthly massage, whatever that might look like. But something that's you time, you know, or me time, however you want to phrase that. And, you know, if you could give yourself 5 minutes, even in the morning before your day starts, maybe just as you open your eyes, just to ground and breathe and bring yourself into your body and into the moment. Mm-hmm. And this, if you start your day that way, I mean, everything kind of flows from the way you start your day, right?
Yeah, it really does. It really does. Now, a lot of women lose themselves in these experiences. How do you start rebuilding your identity? Now, we talked about this a little bit before the show, you know, so let's get into the identity part a little bit, because everybody lives, you know, behind identity in our society, but it's not who they really are. So how do you... First, maybe you can explain, you know, and maybe share a little bit of your story about how you kind of escaped from identity and you really found yourself.
Yeah. So I always say I learned things the hard way. My original identity was I was a physician assistant and I was this medical person and I was, you know, that was who I was, even before being a mother and before being a wife, right? So that was my identity. And through life circumstances and experiences, I ended up needing to go to rehab for alcohol. And I decided at that point, you know, after I had gone through that experience, it was very hard for me to find work. And so I needed to recreate myself. And that's when I decided, okay, I'm going to go to law school. I didn't really want to work for somebody else anyway. I wanted to own my own company. I wasn't functioning well in, you know, the 9-to-5 building somebody else's dream. And so through that process, I ended up giving up my license to practice medicine. And I remember that being a very hard decision to make. Even though I was moving on to something else, I still felt like that was who I was. It was something I earned, you know, and this is mine, right?
Yeah.
And through that whole process of making that decision to let that go, because I had to sit for a bar exam at the same time I had to sit for a recertification exam for that, and I couldn't do both. So I had to make a choice. I was forced to make a choice.
Right.
And at that moment, I just decided I'm going to choose this future. But it's not always easy to let go of that past. So beyond even that, really doing all of this self-work, I started to read like Eckhart Tolle and all that stuff. And so I decided I wanted to do the past life and the spiritual regression and life between life and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
And that is where I discovered who I truly was underneath all the credentials and the certifications and the accolades and the business and the this and the that and all the stuff that you are as this human person here in form now. Mm-hmm. And I think that our ego just holds on to those things, right? Because they help us climb that ego ladder, right, of all these things. And so understanding that and coming to the realization and understanding what my life lessons were and my issues and what I'm trying to learn here and now was so life altering. And again, that is what drove me to Rise Again Phoenix, the business, and wanting to do that for other people. Yeah. It was, I knew in that moment that I just had to do that. I mean, I guess I've been a healer underneath all of this from day one, right? But and so having to let go, I just remember how difficult that was, because it really was in my mind. I mean, people used to ask me, like, when I introduced myself, I was Tracy, the physician assistant. You know what I mean? Like, it was all in one thing.
Yeah.
And so, you know, taking that apart and enmeshing and taking all that apart, and in and around the same time, having to also realize I was going to be divorced, so I was no longer a wife.
Yeah.
And all of these identities were being shed kind of simultaneously.
Right.
And for me, my life lesson is letting go. And so you can see how that plays out, right?
Yeah. Oh, 100%.
Yeah. Letting go of a lot. Yeah. So let go of the license, the house, the husband, like, you know, and it was just a fresh start. And I just remember having the experience of feeling like I was standing at the edge of a cliff and I needed to jump. Mm-hmm. And I put this in my book, Mind Over Martini, if anybody is more interested in more of my story. But, you know, and I was either going to fall or I was going to fly. But I was at the point where it didn't matter at that point. I was not going to stay where I was anymore.
Right.
And I think sometimes that's almost what it takes to shed those identities.
Now, for people out there that don't know how to rebuild your identity, what would you say to them?
So I think the most important thing is to really, again, it goes back to the conditioning. Like, are you in a situation because somebody told you you needed to go to school, get a job, work a job, you know, and do the thing, right? And work a 9-to-5 and get the benefits and have this safe life that my parents tried to preach to me as well. And I did that for a time, but I knew I wasn't thriving in it. Yeah. And so really look inside yourself. What is your gift? What is it that you're here for? What do you want to do? Because when you can do that every day, you're going to be richer than the richest person because you will be infinitely happy.
Yeah.
And probably making a decent buck at it too, because if it's your gift, it's something that only you have to present out to the world. And nobody can do things, you know, the way that you do them.
Right.
And that's just something I've learned along the way too. It's imposter syndrome is another big one.
Yeah. 100%. How do you reconnect with who you really are? Because I think a lot of people have a hard time of reconnecting with who they are because they don't know who they are.
Well, and that sometimes is hard to do alone. And I know for me, I need somebody to facilitate for me to be able to tap into that. There are some people that can just go there.
Yeah.
I don't happen to be one of those people. So I have somebody that I meet with every 3 to 4 months to bring me back so that I can tap into that space. But really having somebody hold space for you. And even if you're a healer and you do this for others, realizing that it's another thing that you can give yourself, like a massage or a pedicure. Give yourself that time. Give yourself the session that you give to others, right?
Right.
That's how I do it. Having someone else hold space for me to be able to go within and not have to be. Because I think when we try to do it for ourselves, or at least for me, when I try to do it for myself, I'm trying to play facilitator and client at the same time. And it's too much thinking as a facilitator. Mm-hmm. And therefore, you can't get the result that you would if you just let someone else hold the space for you and facilitate. Yeah. You can't release and let go and be the client enough to the extent that you need to have the transformation and to get where you need to go. But for me, going into the process I use is hypnosis, and going into those spaces, remembering and feeling what it feels like to be my soul self and seeing how powerful that is. There is just nothing else in the world that can feel like that or that can replace it. Not that I've discovered anyway.
Right. I love that. Now, you have gone through this yourself, which is truly amazing. What was the turning point for you?
So I guess I've had a lot of turning points and I hope I'm done with them at this point because they're always very painful. But I would say the biggest turning point for me was realizing that I actually was, had an issue with alcohol and getting myself out of that situation.
Yeah.
But everything kind of flowed from there, really. That was probably the biggest, hardest thing that I've had to do. And I mean, I've had other issues along the way with business things and financial things, but yeah, that was probably the biggest one. And I always look at my life and I'm just, you know, in the hardest moments when things are really the worst, I look around and I just am grateful for everybody. I have my kids, they have their health, nobody's sick. Money comes, money goes, but the health thing is the biggest. And like, thank God I don't have health issues to deal with, at least not yet.
Yeah. 100%. Yeah.
Yes.
Now, what made you say, I'm going to rebuild?
I just don't have a quitting personality. I have been knocked down so many times and I refuse to go down.
Yeah.
To couch this in the lightest of terms, I had a situation where someone in my life destroyed the company I had built for 8 years. And 2 years ago, for the first time, we went to the tune of -$45,000 that year. And I remember the month of $25,000 loss for the first time in my life in my business, going into a panic and anxiety. And oh my God, what am I going to do? How am I going to feed my kids? And I wanted to crawl up in the corner in a ball and just not get up.
Yeah.
But there is just something inside me that will not allow that to happen. And
right.
I know that I'm the rainmaker. I know that I can fix this. I know I can rebuild this, and I am not going to give up, and I'm not going to let you take me out. And I will show you that I'm going to come back from this stronger, in fact, than I was originally. And so that's sort of what happened from there.
Wow. Wow. That's truly amazing. Now, if there's one thing you want every woman listening to understand, what would that be?
That the power is always within you. Don't give your power away to somebody else. And if you're blaming someone else for the things going on in your life, you're giving your power away. Take it back. What part are you playing in it? And what do you have control over? And what can you change?
Yes.
The world is not happening to you or around you. You are happening to it.
Yes. I love that. That's so powerful. Now, from our conversation, what would you like people to walk away from and remember from this episode?
Just that, you know, change is possible, really, I guess. It's the power is within all of us to change.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's really about looking at yourself and trying to see what is it about me that maybe I don't like that I want to change, or maybe I don't even know what it is, but it's all discoverable. And if you're curious about that, there are ways to get in there and figure that out.
I love that. I love that. Now, tell us a little about your book.
Yeah. So I've got Mind Over Martini, which is my story of what happened throughout my life. And then it's the process that I went through to get sober. And then on the back end gets a little bit more into spirituality and stuff that I've learned through reading different books. So it's a kind of a non-AA process, if you will, almost an anti-AA in a way.
Yeah.
I just felt like AA needed an upgrade and a facelift into modern times. It was because I was tried to be shoved into that program, and it was just not something that I felt fit me, that I resonated with. And for me to have to sit there and say, I am an alcoholic, was just not something I was willing to do, because that word has been associated with so much negativity. And an I am statement brings us, you know, into such a state of power that those two didn't mesh for me.
Right.
So this book is really the process that I went through for my recovery. And then my forthcoming book, Power Unbound, is going to be more of this nervous system work and the conditioning and where all of this comes from, and explaining how I see it and more about dealing with it from that.
I love that. I love that. Now tell us a little about your services and what you provide.
So the thing I like to do most is a spiritual regression. And that is, you know, taking somebody through a process of hypnosis. And typically we would go, you know, childhood, womb, past life, into spirit. That being said, I have had people that have popped from childhood into spirit. I've had, you know, people go from womb into spirit. We don't always go into past life. I've had people just skipping right over a lot of the past life stuff. And I think that that has something to do with the way we're going as humanity. We're really evolving forward more. And there's just so much, you know, within the consciousness now that people are just willing to go further into these spaces, and they really want to get the answers. And you can get any answer you're looking for from spirit. Once you're in spirit, you can, you know, and my process is I hold space for you to go here. So you actually will experience this yourself. You will see it or hear it or feel it or however you experience things. This isn't me telling you what's happening. You're telling me what's happening.
Right.
And so when you feel what it feels like to be your soul self, and we go into the Akashic records or into meet your soul family, into the planning room to see why you came into this life.
Yeah.
There's really not much else that I don't know that you can do that I think that would be, I mean, it's just, it opens your eyes. Again, once it's seen, it can't be unseen, right?
Yeah. I love that. I love that so much. Tell us where people can find you, your website.
Yeah, so I'm pretty much all over the Facebook. Instagram is where I seem to post most for Walk As Her. So just, you know, you can look up Walk As Her on Instagram. I think it's walk.as.her on Instagram. But that's also on Facebook. And those are probably the best places to find me. If you message through there, you will get me on the other side.
I love that. I love that. I just want the listeners to know that you cannot change the past, but you can change what continues. And when you heal, everything connected to you begins to change too. Tracy, I am so proud of you and everything you've gone through. You've gone through so much in life, and you have overcome a lot of obstacles. You kind of rose above the chaos. I got to say that I'm very proud of you, because
you've
accomplished a lot in a lot of different areas of your life. So many people get stuck in life. They hit trauma, they hit obstacles in their life, and they immediately either give up or they just get stuck. and they just don't know how to move forward. And so many women are afraid to really confide in others or go get help. You know, they're embarrassed and they feel shameful when they shouldn't feel shame at all. You know, people come on the show and they talk about their own experiences and they share tools and strategies. But when you share your story, it's not always easy to open up and let go of those walls and become vulnerable and share it with the world. And what you've done today is outstanding. And all the accomplishments that you've achieved are outstanding. And I just want to say thank you so much for taking the time to come on the show and to tell other women out there that there is still a way to move forward in life and achieve your goals, achieve your dreams, and make your dreams a reality. That, you know, there's no giving up. And, you know, and you've shown that. And I just want to say thank you so much for being on the show.
Thank you. Well, I guess you could see why I resonate with the Phoenix.
Yeah.
And walk as her, right? Because the last thing I will add is just don't look at the entire path ahead of you. If it feels overwhelming, just take the next step. Exactly. And that's all it is. You're just walking one foot in front of the other. Walk.
Yes. And I think that's so important. And that's a very good point to make because a lot of people look at the whole circle.
And it's overwhelming. Just,
it's all baby steps. That's all right. Baby steps.
Just and keep putting that one foot in front of the other.
Exactly. Exactly. And what, you know, it takes a little time, but when you keep putting one foot in front of the other, be surprised at how much you could achieve and how far you could go with those.
And don't forget to kind of look back and see how far you've gone and allow yourself to celebrate that.
Yes. And I think that's another thing people don't do is that they don't give themselves enough of credit because they don't look back and look where they were.
That's
and
right.
And then look at where they are right now. And that's huge if you do that because you're like, wow, I can't.
How far I have come. That's right. That's right.
Well, thank you so much, Tracy. This has been a pleasure. I hope you'll come on the show again. I hope we can talk more deeper in depth about a lot of the topics you mentioned today. And I really look forward to, you know, possibly having you on the show. And I thank you once again for just being on the show today.
Thank you, Stacey. It was great to be here.
It was great to have you.